www.thebestofbeth.com.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm Al Cortland, and I appreciate you joining me. Going to devote a couple of segments right here to one of my favorite guys in the business, and that is James Turk. GoldMoney.com is his company that I believe his son is running right now, but James started it. He's a well-known author. He's a frequent lecturer, speaker at various investment conferences around the world. He and his family are just two of the most, three of the most, I guess I should say, well, all of the most, the Turk family are really, really some of, you wrote an interesting editorial that appeared on Kitco talking about the debt situation in the United States, and your premise is that that's really not the issue. Now, I agree with you 100%, and I discussed this in the first segment with Peter Grandich. I discussed it with Rick Ackerman. We have a much, much more basic situation here that has to be dealt with. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Yeah, exactly. The issue is that we're relying too much on government. You know, the government is spending so much now. It's a higher percentage of the economy than it was during World War II when the government was on a war footing.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is we have to go back to basics, and basics means, you know, wealth creation, the private sector, because that's where goods and services that maintain and raise everyone's standards of living are created.
Yep.
You know, these goods and services are not created by the government. The government in all forms is essentially a burden on the private sector. Now, some government spending obviously is necessary. What I'm arguing is that to have more government spending now, or as a percentage of the economy, than it was in World War II, shows how we're off track. You know, the private sector is just being pushed to the extent that it is squeezed, and we've reached the limit. We've reached the limit and cannot go any further in terms of wealth creation.
You know, and that is the bottom line. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, I think there are a number of things that the government should be doing and should not be doing. And I think the number of things that the government should not be doing is far greater. I don't see that changing human nature being what it is until such time that there's no choice. And I think the time, quite frankly, that there is no choice, James, is right around the corner.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think we've reached pretty much the end of the road here. I always like to go back to a favorite quote from Margaret Thatcher. She said that the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money. And that's where we are in the United States today. You know, the burden of government has just become too great on the private sector. Now, the debt limit, of course, is, you know, important in its own right, because this is the last limit, the last form of discipline that, you know, the Congress has in terms of controlling out of control federal spending.
Yeah.
You remove that debt limit, which is basically, you know, some people are, you know, now talking about in Washington because of the impasse. You remove that debt limit, that's the last form of discipline on government spending. And then we're going to go, I think, into that really hyperinflationary blow off that you and I have spoken about from time to time in the past.
James, I have to tell you that I think the most effective way to make government spending efficient, okay, is by going back to a gold standard. You know, I mean, it's so simple when you stop and realize that. Let's go back to the Bush years, okay? We got involved in two wars that we could not afford, okay? We were able to get involved in those wars because there was no constraint on the money supply. A gold standard puts a constraint on the money supply. It forces governments, people, entities to live within their own means. That, in my opinion, is the basic solution to this whole situation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Al. You know,
I learned it from you. James, I learned it from you years and years ago. Okay.
Well, it's a form of discipline.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need discipline in life, in all forms of, in all aspects of life. And, when you don't have that discipline in the money side, what governments can do is just spend and spend and borrow and borrow, and that's what's been happening the past few decades since we abandoned the gold standard. In fact, the gold standard is in the Constitution because the framers of the Constitution understood what happened with the Continental, you know, the first currency of this
right.
country, where there was just spending and spending and borrowing and borrowing, and the Continental collapsed.
Yeah.
Not because we've abandoned the wisdom of the framers. We're learning the same thing with the dollar that they learned with the Continental.
You know, we are, and the basic problem here in my mind is twofold. Number one, we're not adhering to an asset-based currency, okay, and that's number one. And number two, we're not realizing that the main reason that we have to adhere to an asset-based currency is because of human nature. Politicians have so much power in the United States right now. The Federal Reserve Bank under Dr. Bernanke has so much power right now. They can do damn near whatever they want. They can spend as much money as they possibly want. And given, you know, the aspect of human nature of feathering your own nest, trying to get reelected, et cetera, et cetera, it's a natural outgrowth that we've got this unheard of deficit. And I think there really isn't a solution to that other than a major financial catastrophe, which will bring us back, in my opinion, to the gold standard or some other type of currency that's asset based. Because without regulation, it's just, you know, without laws, the universe doesn't work, man.
Yeah, you know, Congress tends to react. It doesn't act proactively to, you know, solve problems. And I think that's true for politicians generally. You know, once the crisis hits, then they react and they realize, you know, how foolish we've been, you know, how we've been on the wrong road. I hope that, you know, they will learn from, you know, monetary history rather than having to relive monetary history. But I'm not optimistic that that's going to be the result.
I think you're right, and I'm not particularly optimistic either. I would have to say, though, that I think enough people are starting to get it that, you know, the upward trend that we're going to talk about shortly here, but the upward trend that's going on in the price of gold and silver is definitely going to continue. Now, in my opinion, getting into that particular subject, in my humble opinion, the reason that this upward trend is going, you know, as strong as it is primarily because some people in the West are starting to get it, but more importantly, all the people in the Far East have gotten it. I mean, it's obvious to me that the Chinese realize the value, the basic value of precious metals. And, I don't see that changing.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, I lived most of the 1970s in Asia. And, you know, gold is money in Asian cultures and Asian tradition. You know, if you were to say to them that, you know, gold isn't money, they would say, you know, did you just arrive from Mars or something like that? You
right.
know, 'cause it's so obvious to them that gold is money.
Right.
But, you know, there is an optimistic reason to be optimistic here in the States in terms of what the higher gold price is doing. It's causing a lot of people at the state level to sort of question this federal system of dollars that are constantly being debased and depreciated. And various states around the country now are moving toward alternative gold and silver currencies.
Idaho and
available
Utah.
To state citizens. Yeah.
Idaho and Utah have gone in that direction.
Yeah, there are a number of states that have actually done this. There's actually about 12 that have actually, you know, either moved to have legislation before the state legislature. Utah has gone, you know, much further than most. You know, Montana almost had legislation passed that enabled gold and silver to circulate as currency within that state. This is very encouraging because, you know, one of the key points of the Constitution is the balance between federal government and state government. And one of the things that states have is a monetary authority. So seeing them willing to exercise this monetary authority will at least in those states enable people to prepare for what looks like the inevitable collapse of the U.S. dollar.
I would agree with that, and I tell you, I have to applaud the politicians in Idaho who just a few short years ago enacted legislation whereby state taxes could be paid in silver. I have to applaud that. It's a step in the right direction. And I also have to applaud the politicians in Utah who are also heading in that direction. And I know there are other states that are going the same way, and I guess all I would say on that is it's nice that we have some people who have their heads screwed on straight. James, always a pleasure to have you on the show. You guys out there listening, we're going to have James back in the last segment segment of this particular hour. We're going to talk about the record levels in precious metals. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237. Extension 242.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Time now, Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Got Brent Cook on the line with me right now. Brent is a geologist who I've known for, I don't know, the last 6 or 7 years. He has got a newsletter, which I think is one of the better ones out there. It's called Exploration Insights. Brent only talks about companies in his newsletter that he is invested in. He takes no fees from any of the companies he writes up, so that kind of puts him, in my opinion, at the top of the ladder among a lot of various newsletter writers. Anyway, having said that, Brent has come up with an idea of investing in companies that have a particular business plan. I guess you could call that business plan project generator type situation, but it's a little more complicated than that. But the companies that he has invested in, I guess I should say, that have followed that particular pattern have treated him and his subscribers very, very well. Brent, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Talk about the business plan, first of all, if you would.
All right. Probably, first off, we'll go back a bit and think about what minerals exploration really is, which is a bunch of fellows running around the hills trying to find something of economic significance that they can build a mine around. That means, you know, that basically the odds of any single property turning into an economic deposit are, you know, less than 1%. So the odds are really stacked against you. So if you recognize that, the most intelligent way to explore is to go out and generate these ideas, big ideas, mm-hmm. and then bring a partner in to spend the high-risk dollars evaluating it, whereby you maintain a residual interest of, say, 20, 30, or some odd percent in this property if it's successful, recognizing that most of these are going to fail. What that does is it keeps my interest in a company mm-hmm. and its intellectual capital, which is really buying, it doesn't dilute it.
Yeah.
So that's the whole objective, is not to dilute our interest in the company, but dilute it in the property where the risks are so much higher.
You know, one company that comes to mind that is following that plan to an extent, and it is that they are sponsors of ours, and I have invested in the company, and that is a company called SilverQuest. They basically have done that on one of their properties, the Davidson property in British Columbia, where they have New Gold is spending, you know, lots of money on the property, and SilverQuest is sitting back with, you know, with a substantial interest in the outcome. Now, you've got some companies also that you follow, Brent, that fit into this category. Let's hear about them.
Certainly. Let's talk about a couple of successes first off, and that is we're invested in Kaminak Gold for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
and intelligent guys doing intelligent work, venturing projects out, until eventually they came across a property that kept getting better and better, and they kept 100% of it. And when they did that, we're looking at a company that at the time had less than 40 million shares out, and we saw appreciation from less than a dollar to $3 to $4. Same thing with a company called Mirasol Resources. Number of joint venture projects, and they eventually made a discovery. Almaden Minerals is another one that we're following and is halfway into the discovery process. So that's sort of the ideal situation, is after a number of years, your company still has less than 50 or 60 million shares outstanding, and they make that discovery, and it has a significant impact on the share price.
Now,
in the portfolio, there's a company called Riverside.
Sure.
John Mark Study, I think you know him as well.
I know Mark, John Mark, sure.
He's been at this 4 years. He has yet to make a discovery, but he's got 8 projects being worked by partners who are spending money on his property, and he's sitting there with $10 million in the bank and about a 30-something million market cap. That's a good deal.
It is.
When that discovery happens, we stand to win, but we're not taking all the risk in the shareholder dilution. So that's sort of how it works.
Now, you've been in the game for a long time. You have been all your career, if I'm not mistaken, graduated from university with a degree in geology, and you've been working, you know, in the resource sector far and away the majority of your career. Is this a criteria that you had for investing from day one, or is this something that kind of came into mind and evolved over the years?
I would say I learned it the hard way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, as a geologist, I did a lot of work for major mining companies and that sort of thing. But I never got into the investing side of it until I joined up with Rick Rule
mm-hmm.
and became his analyst. And then I learned how easy it is to lose money in this game.
Oh, yeah.
So this idea that, you know, that really to make money in this junior exploration game, rule number one for me is don't lose money.
Yep.
It's really hard to make that back. So this prospect generator model is one of the models I use that minimizes the potential loss, yet maximizes the upside if we're successful.
A lot of companies are doing that today. Well, not a lot, but more and more companies are doing that today. You know, I mentioned earlier SilverQuest. Randy Turner, I don't know if you know him or not, president of the company, but, you know, Randy's been around for a long, long time. He started in the resource business back in the late 70s. And, you know, my guess is he came to the same conclusion that you did because, you know, it's all about diversification. You know, I'm a real believer in my portfolio, as our listeners are aware, you know, we're probably 30% real estate, 30% conventional stock market, and 40%, you know, hard asset related investments. And, you know, why do I do that? Well, I do that because I want to be diversified. I don't want to put all of my eggs in one basket because the odds of a home run, you know, when you're in the bottom of the ninth and there's two out and it's 0-0 and there's one guy left at bat, the odds of him hitting a home run really aren't all that good. And I feel the same way about investing. And, you know, when you have companies like the ones that you've mentioned, or the one that I mentioned, that are hedging their bets by really putting the financial onus, for lack of better terms, on someone else. Two things immediately surface. Number one, if a major company is willing to come in and really put up the money, that means that they are firmly convinced that there's something there. That's not always true, but 9 times out of 10, it's going to be true. What a great way for some of these junior exploration companies to diversify. And the companies that you mentioned, I know some of the management really pretty well and have known them for a long, long time. Albedin, we've assisted them in doing their SEC work for probably 10 or 12 years now, you know. In terms of John Mark Stoudy, I've known him for 4 years anyway. These are very bright guys, and I think that they're doing doing exactly the right thing. And I think that's something that our listeners should take a look at, in the sense that, you know, look at diversification not just in terms of geographical diversification or what have you, but also in terms of, is somebody else willing to come in and spend the money?
Agreed.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. You know, watch your downside. If you protect that, then you've got the upside. And there's some articles on my website that you know, people can get to talk about this as well.
Oh, you need to check out, if you're an investor in this segment, you need to get all the information that you can. I've been saying that for, you know, 15, 20 years, as long as I've been doing this. But Brent's information, his newsletter, Exploration Insights, is a really, really valuable one. It's valuable for two reasons. Number one, the guy really knows what he's doing based on his education and based on experience. And number two, you know exactly where his mind is because he fully discloses that every company that he follows in his newsletter is a company that he has his own and his family's money in. Brent, thanks so much, buddy.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times the profit today.
Will you survive during the economic collapse or another deadly natural disaster? Your key to survival lies here at HardChoose.com. A former member of U.S. Special Operations knows what you'll need to survive in these hard times. Our online store arms you with extreme survival kits, self-heating food reserves, and more. For a limited time, with any purchase, you'll also receive a 3-day survival kit absolutely free. Prepare now. The online store, www.HardChoose.com. www.HardChoose.com.
Hey Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Chatting with Steve Taylor, as we are starting to do every week now. Steve is an analyst. He is involved with our company. He's just all in all a very, very interesting guy when it comes to the financial community. I say that because when he, after his graduation from Claremont McKenna, he went on to work with his dad at number of brokerage firms as an analyst. He's been doing this for quite some time now, and I got to tell you, I highly, highly respect his opinion. Steve, I am getting more and more excited about being involved in energy, and as such, listeners can look at my portfolio, which is listed on our website. I did make two additions to it, and they're both in the energy sector. One of them is a company called Kinder Morgan, and the other one is a company called Enbridge Energy Partners. They are involved in the infrastructure end of the industry, specifically in natural gas, and I got to tell you, to me, that just seems like a very logical place to be right now with part of a person's portfolio. And the reason I say that is because without energy, an economy can't survive, a society can't survive. And in the United States right now, we definitely have to go in the direction of becoming more energy sufficient. You did some research on this, and actually you've got some pretty positive things to say in terms of some of the stuff that's going on in Colorado and also in North Dakota. That makes me happy, and I'll tell you why, because I don't want to be dependent on Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, blah, blah, blah. I want the United States to be able to, I want my country to be able to handle that themselves. Let's start out with Colorado, man. What's going on there?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think this country absolutely has to be more self-sufficient when it comes to energy. And many people already know that there's been a lot of talk about how natural gas supplies here in this country have just exploded thanks to the new technology being able to hydraulically fracture shale and recover natural gas. It looks like right now, natural gas-wise, we are somewhere between 100 to 120 years worth of supply. And that could grow actually quite a bit due to new technologies. Natural gas is something that we're not using very much of. Certainly a lot of people use it to heat their homes. But in terms of replacing some of our oil consumption with natural gas, we're really slow compared to a lot of countries worldwide that have made that leap because they realize that that's where they got to go. If they have natural gas, don't have oil, use the natural gas and replace some of that oil so they're not dependent on foreign supplies.
Mm-hmm.
This country hasn't done that yet, and we really have to do that.
Oh, I agree 100%. Now, what specifically is going on in the area of natural gas? I mean, let's take natural gas in Colorado.
Well, natural gas in Colorado has been really exploding, and Colorado has a lot of supplies, not just natural gas, but oil, just like the Bakken in North Dakota and Montana. I mean, there's a lot of oil in this country that hasn't been tapped yet, and there's a couple reasons for that. One is because of the new technology that we're just coming on board. The Bakken has been known for about 100 years, but only in the last four or so has it really started to produce, and that's producing now about 500,000 barrels a day, which can sound like a lot, but considering the United States' domestic production is close to 19 million barrels a day, it's actually just a small percentage of what we need every day. That could double. Looks like the Bakken right now, the USGS is estimating about 4 billion barrels, but they're going to reevaluate that. And it looks like that overall in the future they could recover 3, maybe 4 times that. So look at maybe somewhere around 15 billion barrels total recovery. That sounds like a lot, but when you consider just to the south of that in Colorado, you're looking at a lot of oil. Down there in the Green River Formation, there's something called kerogen, which is sort of like an unfinished oil. It's secured in the rocks. It takes a bunch of energy to finish converting it to oil. But the USGS estimates that right now there's about 1.5 to 3 trillion barrels of oil locked in those formations. That's trillion with a T. And that is a lot of oil.
And that this could go an awful long ways in making the U.S. independent of certainly the Middle East. You know, I find it interesting that so many other countries are so far ahead of us on the curve of utilizing natural gas as a main source of energy. It's amazing to me how we ever got this way in the United States. But I'll tell you, man, I think people are realizing right now the gravity of the situation vis-a-vis energy supply. And I think you're going to see just leaps and bounds in the right direction on the part of our country, as long as we can keep some of the tree huggers, you know, make them realize that energy, people's lives are very, very important. And without energy, those lives ain't going to be worth a hoot.
Well, that's absolutely the point here. And that is that other countries have made really long strides in energy. And it's not just the natural gas conversion, but it's also that kerogen. There's a lot of that. The United States has most of the supply in the world, but other countries have it. And they've been making huge strides to be able to tap that oil and to convert that into usable oil. The United States has been making very slow progress. And recently, any of the progress that was done under the Bush administration was absolutely stopped in its tracks the minute the Obama administration came into office. The Bush administration leased out 560-acre tracts in Colorado for test purposes, and that was to Shell, Chevron, and another company, and they were going to start their processes to test whether it could be economically extracted, which makes all kinds of sense. But the minute the Obama administration came in, Ken Salazar, the Secretary of the Interior, stopped it in its tracks, and no progress has been made since. And I compare that to saying, for instance, to the Wright brothers by saying, no, I'm sorry, you can't go to North Carolina and test your plane because, you know, it may pollute in the future. We don't know whether it's even viable, but if it is, it's just going to be too pollutive, and we can't trust it. So we won't let you even test your airplane. And that's essentially what's going on in Colorado. And this is a huge untapped oil reserve that we're not even allowed to see if we can tap it.
Amazing. Okay, what about North Dakota? Now, they're having some luck up there.
They are. And North Dakota, the Bakken, currently producing about 500,000 barrels a day, 500,000. They can double that, but even so, that's not going to solve too many of our problems. I mean, it's certainly a help, and there's a lot of oil there, but we really have to start looking at alternate supplies and what we do have available in this country. Now, they can take the technology they've been using successfully in North Dakota, and there's a bunch of companies that are trying it in Wyoming and Colorado and different shales. As a matter of fact, the Chinese National Oil Company just paid about $570 million for a third interest in one of those projects. So the Chinese recognize that this is the future. But yet here in America, we're kind of slow on the uptake to recognize that, yes, we need to expand how we're using this, and we need to start testing and see if we can tap more of these projects.
Yeah. Do you think that because of the attitude of a portion of the United States towards the energy industry, and I'd have to say a negative attitude, that attitude would make the energy sector perhaps not a good place to invest, assuming that you're investing in domestic companies?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think that's the reason why I think underlying all of this, I think that would be a very good suggestion of why the Obama administration stopped this project from happening. Because, as we know, they'd like America to convert to alternate fuels. And if we're certainly not doing it based on economics, and they're going to try to force us into it by restricting our production of oil, regardless of whether it's economic and what it's going to do for the economy, that's certainly worrisome. But overall, I mean, we can't convert. I mean, the technology isn't there for solar or other forms. Electricity still needs fossil fuel to produce electricity for the most part. This isn't going to go away. And we've been talking about this for 50 to 100 years. There's going to be alternate forms of energy. And although we're trying, fossil fuels aren't going away anytime soon, and we're going to have to start tapping this more and more, and here in the U.S. is a great place to invest.
I would agree 100%. I'm pretty comfortable with what I'm doing. Now, I want you guys out there to realize one thing. Stephen and I aren't telling you what to do. We're not registered investment advisors. We're just telling you this is a sector that is really getting very, very interesting to us. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with James Turk.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Where can you find a super strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at thyroidki.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, as promised, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. I'm here with James Turk. We are talking about the record level that we're seeing in gold this week, 1591 yesterday on the asked side. Pretty high, soon to be 1600. I predicted that on some of the media that where I was interviewed over the past few months. It looks like it's going to happen. We got silver climbing also up 79 cents today to 3898. James, let's talk about gold first. You know, record levels. Give us reasons and give us projections for the future.
Okay, well, first of all, it's not only a record level against the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
It's also a record level against the euro, the British pound, you know, a number of different of the world's currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really significant, Al, because this is just not a U.S. event. It's a global event. You know, people are exiting national currencies globally and going into alternatives, and the alternative, of course, being the safest of all safe havens, which is gold.
And it's happening around the world, yeah.
Yeah, silver's benefiting as well, as you mentioned, too. But, you know, the reasons for it are that basically central banks are mismanaging their currency. Central banks are, you know, keeping interest rates way too low. And, you know, this is really very harmful because the backbone of capitalism is the middle class and the savings and production that the middle class create over time. And when you can't save money and accumulate an interest income that offsets the risks of, you know, the currency you're holding, you know, you're basically destroying the backbone of society, which, you know, is savings and production. So this is really very, very harmful. And, you know, I'm really quite concerned about this low interest rate policy, but it's quite understandable as a consequence of that, that people are moving into gold and silver.
My impression of this particular action is that it started really, really strongly, I would have to say probably about 5 years ago. That sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, given the fact that back in the early part of this century, gold was trading around $254 an ounce. But when gold got up to around approaching 1,000, okay, and let's say that was just a few years back, that's when I thought the real strength in the movement started to take place. And in my opinion, I remember I was speaking at a GATA conference at the time back in, and you were there also back in Washington, D.C. And during my presentation, I basically said, I think the biggest thing that's fueling the market right now and will continue to fuel it are the actions of the Chinese folks. You know, they started to encourage savings in precious metals at that time. The next year, China became the largest gold producer in the world. Today, they are not only the largest gold producer, they are also, if I'm not mistaken, the world's largest importer of gold. I mean, I think that the Chinese actions are what really started this whole thing. You think I'm nuts?
No, I think you're spot on accurate. You know, gold goes to where the wealth is being created, and there's a lot of wealth being created in Asia right now. And as a consequence, there's a lot of gold flowing to that part of the world. But, you know, you mentioned something very important when gold went over $1,000 an ounce. Every bull market has three stages. In the first stage, you know, nobody's really paying attention. And, you know, gold slowly gets accumulated and moves higher. The second stage, there's an event. And in the case of gold, it was moving over $1,000 an ounce. That started attracting worldwide attention. You know, it was sort of like a canary in the coal mine. People were starting to understand that something was going on around the world with, you know, monetary events. And even if they weren't sure what was causing it, they saw that, you know, gold at $1,000 was giving them a signal that they should start looking at the precious metals. And that's the second stage. We're still in the second stage of this bull market. This third stage will come, you know, down the road when you really get the speculative aspect. And, you know, at that moment in time, gold will be overvalued. And the gold that, you know, we're accumulating now, you'll want to use that gold for spending to purchase other assets and things. But that's still, you know, years in the future. And I like to make the comparison today with gold to back with the Dow in 1983. You know, when it first went above 1,000 back in 1983, there were a lot of naysayers saying, you know, the Dow Jones Industrials at 1,200 was overvalued, you know, 1,500 it was overvalued, but, you know, it just kept climbing and climbing and climbing, and even the 1987 crash was just a reaction in an ongoing bull market that eventually took the Dow Jones Industrials to where you know, it ended up in 2000. And, you know, you're going to see a similar pattern in gold in the sense that, you know, when gold went over 1,000, we're now in the second stage. We don't know how far or how long that second stage of gold's bull market's going to last, but it's still a long way before it gets to that third stage, which is the speculative element. So I sort of have to laugh when I see people talking about gold being in a bubble. You know, in the third stage, nobody's going to say gold's in a bubble. Everybody's going to be saying gold, you have to be buying it. And that's the time when you're going to want to, you know, start using it to all the savings that you're accumulating to use it to, you know, buy things, make other investments, buy houses or whatever looks appealing to you at that moment in time in the future.
Any idea on time frame as to, you know, when the third stage is going to be reached?
Well, you know, when I was interviewed back in Barron's in 2003, I always thought there would be sometime between 2013 and 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still sort of sticking to that kind of time frame. You know, we're getting closer and closer to it. You know, my view is that gold's going to be well into four digits when we reach that level. And that goes back to, you know, what I was saying to Barron's in 2003, basically just saying a repeat of what happened in the 70s, but doing it on an inflation-adjusted basis that the dollar was worth a lot less in 2003 than it was in 1971.
I got involved in this market in the late 70s, got really involved, you know, in it as an independent business guy in the very early part of the 1980s. And I see a major, major difference today between the factors involved in the appreciation of the price of gold. Big difference between what's going on today and what went on back in the late 70s. In the late 70s, you had a real inflation scare. We bought our first house at that time, and I think that we paid somewhere in the neighborhood of 14.5% to 15% interest on our mortgage, which is crazy. You had other inflationary issues that were absolutely terrifying at the time, but it was one-dimensional. Gold at that time was really just a hedge against inflation. That was my observation. Today, I could give a dozen reasons that are equally as important as the inflation concept that I think together are responsible for the rising price in gold.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's another thing, too. that back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, the U.S. was in a much better financial condition then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was the largest creditor nation in the world. You know, today it's by far the largest debtor nation, not only in the world, but probably that the universe has ever seen.
Yeah.
And you really have to question, you know, the U.S. government's ability to service this huge debt load it's put on itself. The other thing, of course, that's different now and back then is that back then derivatives were few and far between compared to what we have now.
That's
you know,
right.
Trillions and trillions of derivatives mm-hmm. hanging over the banking system, which you know itself is very fragile and more over leveraged and in much worse shape than it was back, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of reasons for concern, and you know, all of these things added up suggest that, you know, more and more people are going to continue to move into the precious metals. And it's, you know, it goes back to something that we've talked many times over the years, Al, that, you know, don't worry so much about the price of gold and, you know, whether it's up or down on any given day, week,
right.
or month. Just continue to accumulate.
Right.
You know, view gold and silver to be a form of savings and just accumulate it over time. And when this bull market is finally finished at some point in time in the future, you'll be quite happy looking back at what kind of capital you've been managing to accumulate and save just by, you know, every month or every quarter or every other month. You know, just buying some physical gold and buying some physical silver.
Well, you have to go a long ways to find an investment that has been as good as gold since, you know, the beginning of this century, for lack of better terms. I mean, folks have bought it down around 2.5 an ounce and continue to systematically buy it, as you say, over the past, 11 years or thereabouts, have had, I can't think of very many other areas where they've had returns that have been that good. Real quick, silver. Are you bullish on silver?
Yeah, you know, I'm more bullish on silver than I am on gold. I have been for quite some time, and I continue to be more bullish on silver. And the reason is that relative to gold, silver is still very cheap. You know, it takes today about 40 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. And normally the ratio on a historical basis is around 16 ounces of silver.
Right.
So over time going forward, I expect, you know, silver to continue to outperform gold. The problem with silver, though, is it's a bit more volatile,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it may not be for everyone. But, you know, if you're prepared to accept the risk of the volatility, you know, add a little silver to your portfolio, too. But there's a difference between the price of gold and the price of silver and the value of gold or the value of silver. You know, even though the prices of the precious metals have been rising for, you know, 11 years, as
mm-hmm.
you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
they still remain very undervalued by all historical bases.
Sure.
You know, my expectation is that the bull market that we've been in the precious metals is going to continue because both gold and silver remain undervalued compared to historical bases and other assets that are out there.
I agree,
yeah. To accumulate them.
I agree 100%. Mr. Turk, always a pleasure. Thanks. Listen, you guys, thanks for listening out there. We're going to be back with you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.